reasons for taking time off from your other busy schedules and prioritizing this time to do work with us? Initially, members, we had a program that would have taken us through the first quarterly review. In the interaction we had with the Office of the Auditor General, it came to light that, number one, they had not even started working on that first quarterly review. They just literally concluded on the annual report, if you like, financials. To an extent, therefore, but still, this being a very important exercise, we still thought that we should be able to deal with the issues that we need to the whole budget cycle. What we thought we should do, is to allow both the department, in terms of its own framework, as it looks into the budget, and also as it looks into the strat plans and the APPs, and have time to the budget office, which they are here, so that they display for us their role in the entire value chain of that budget cycle. And lastly, having to allow the Office of the Auditor General to take us through, as they are the final arbiters of whether or not money is spent, indeed were spent wisely, responsibly, value for money would have been achieved. Am I right to outline as such about your role? To an extent, therefore, a question shall have arisen that begs to engage the recent exercise that we've just been engaged in, that of the BRRR. So the question that I was asking myself is, especially for some of us who have just joined Parliament, where does the BRRR fit in the scheme of things? And what is the role of that BRRR? And what do those recommendations do at the end? Because you really want to have a sense as to, when engaging in any activity, you have a broader picture as to where things fit in. So this is the exercise that we want to get involved in. We have a few apologies. Some of the presenters would love to leave a lot earlier from the Office of the Auditor General. And then from the budget office, they indicated that one of them shall have to move to another meeting. At least we shall be having some people from that budget office. The department is going to be here with us throughout. That does not mean that we shall have to take the whole time. The intention is also to finish by 12:30. So whatever we do, we also have to bear that at the top of our minds. I shall then, in that spirit, requesting that each presenter utilizes only 15 minutes of the time. 15 minutes. Granted, you have bigger slides than many of those. We do have apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister in writing. As usual, I must underline that fact. Whenever they are not here with us, they do write formally whenever they are not with us. It's important I underline that part. because that shows a greater element of respect of this institution, something that you would really all want to subscribe to. Members, with those viewers, in the absence of any other apology, Mr. Bassa.
Speaker, dear person, Honorable Balindela will just be a little bit late, but she will attend the meeting.
Thank you, sir. My members, that then takes us straight to, in the absence of any other intervention, to the department. I see the acting DG is here. We shall then take us through. And again, time as we speak, according to my watch, is 4 minutes after 10. By 20 minutes after 10, we shall have to stop you. We do have your presentation, you can start speaking. Thank you.
The balanced scorecard approach which we place in the department, and then the governance and oversight of the entity, just to give an understanding of that, how that fits in as well. Going to slide 4 and 5, and I'm not going to read those in detail, it just indicates to you the areas where we've got to comply from a statutory point of view, from the National Treasury Regulations, the Public Service Act, from 25, the President's Policy Framework, the National Treasury Framework, and then on page 6, we just depict there in how we develop the...
Members, let's feel free to intercept. Otherwise, of course, we'll have to do that responsibly. Responsibly here means taking into account time, so that I don't spend much time on a specific area wherein we need clarity on. Just to give an example, as we speak going forward, mention is made of National Treasury Regulations. If there are any specific area the members are wishing to get clarity on, by way of giving an example, so that you don't take much of the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm working on the assumption that all of those documents I'm referring to, that the Portfolio Committee would have access to all of those documents in terms of the VRR process in any event, because they would guide that process as well. Then on page 6, it's just the pyramid which indicates how we eventually get to the point of the strategic plan, starting with the inputs, moving up with the activities and the indicators, the outputs, which also have indicators, and then, of course, the outcomes and the impacts. Because at the end of the day, through the strategic planning process, what one is trying to do is to make sure that whatever one has as an outcome in a strategic plan is that there's an impact on the ground, and that impact on the ground is also measurable. I'm seeking to have my apology. On slide 7, we then indicate the planning cycle, and we're at the 2014 point on that plan, and we are right now in the process of preparing our strategic plan for the 2015-2019 period. If you look at the top level there, the planning and the budgeting cycle is also directed by led by the National Development Plan, the Vision 2030, the NTSF outcomes, and then of course the 5-year strategic plan. And then on an annual basis, resubmit a 3-year, and I'm on the fourth row there, resubmit a 3-year APP to Parliament with a 1-year E&E in terms of the MTF, and that APP is adjusted or amended on an annual basis, but within the framework of the 5-year strategic plan. And then you have the reporting cycles which follow each year, and those are the reporting cycles that not only the Presidency and National Treasury have a great interest in, that would be also a focus of the Auditor General. So we have our 4 quarterly reports. That's the second, third line from the bottom, third row from the bottom, and that would lead to the end of the year or mid-year, now at the end of September, where we would submit the annual report for the previous financial year. So as we sit here today, we are currently finalising the preparing the printer's proofs of the annual report for the 13-14 period. Next slide, please. Chair, I won't go through that in detail, but that slide just gives you the what has to be done during the particular months in terms of performance planning, the budgeting, and then the monitoring. One of the important ones, if I go to the column, the row on the budgeting, is that we are already into the period of July with the budget estimates. We've already had that engagement. If you look at the third row, fifth column, in July, the budget estimates in National Treasury, we already are in that engagement process. Where we've submitted the first database to National Treasury on the basis of the baseline allocations that they've given us, and we'll work through to November where we get our final allocation letters, which will then during December and through to January, where we finalise the chapter on the estimates of national expenditure, which lead to Budget Day in Parliament in February. So we've got to fit in, Honourable Chair, members, very closely with that budget cycle. And then, of course, on the monitoring, there's the in-year monitoring, where we submit on a monthly basis the financial reports to National Treasury, and then below that the quarterly reports that we have to submit. And in the bottom row, there's also the impact. Just help me with the acronym for impact.
Managing performance. It's managing performance assessment tool.
Thanks. As the impact is the management performance assessment tool. It's a tool that is managed through the Office of the Presidency, and we measured on our performance annually on scorecard on the impact. So we're going into that assessment period now as well. Next slide, please. Chair, the next slide is one that this committee will have seen before. It's the one where we indicate the build-up to our scorecard, indicating the interlinkages in terms of our mandate, the international, that's the constitutional legislative mandate, the box inward, the Millennium Development Goals, and we currently are negotiating for the post-2015 development agenda, which will be the sustainable development goals, the framework for climate change, and then we go into the government priorities, the National Development Plan, NTSF, the New Growth Path, and then we show the interdependencies in terms of the other departmental programs, the implementation sphere at the provincial level, and the IDPs of the municipalities, and then the inner book there, we indicate the oversight in terms of the National Assembly and the NCOP. And on the bottom leg, we just have the enabling departments, principally being the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, the Department of Public Service Administration, and the National Treasury. Next slide, please. On that slide, again, we've just shown our internal planning process that we follow, and currently we are in that element. If you go to the right hand side of that slide, the strategic planning level, we are in that part of the cycle at the moment. We have had our initial session with Minister, Deputy Minister, and the entities all as part of it, and our key other government departments we engage with. And next week, Monday and Tuesday, we follow up with a two-day strategic plan session, which will hopefully lead by the end of the week to us being able to submit by the end of this month our draft five-year strategic plan, which will then guide work that we do over the next 5 years. And then we follow that with the role that the two CFOs take is in terms of costing the annual at the annual performance planning level. We are somewhat boxed in terms of the costing, because we've already been given baseline figures, and National Treasury have indicated very clearly to us that we are working on a very hard ceiling in terms of the budget for next year, so we can't expect any additional funds above baseline next year, and any new priorities will have to be dealt with in terms of a reprioritization process. And that reprioritization process takes place firstly internally with the department. If there are still priorities which we can't cost internally in the department, we submit those to National Treasury, and then they have a look at the cross-sectoral engagement to see whether there's any reprioritization that takes place from other departments that might be able to meet those requirements. And then eventually that goes through to the MINCOMBA, that's the Ministerial Committee on the Budget, when the EAE is finalized. Next slide, please. To the goals and the objectives as we have are depicting them on this slide is in terms of our current APP and the current, that's on slide 12, and the current strategic plan. You might see a slight shift in those goals as we develop a new strategic plan for the next 5 year period, that's the 15 to 19 period, 19 to 20 period. So we expect that that will change somewhat. So I'm not going to go through those in details, as when we did our APP, we went through those goals and the perspectives. And this is the start of the framework or the template that is used for the balance scorecard which we implement. Next slide, please. Chair, this slide you will also have seen before. It's the slide which indicates our goals again, and then our strategic objectives under each of those goals, and the interlinkages between goals. And this here then is a basis, as I just indicated before, that slide 13, for our balance scorecard. Next slide. This slide that here in the center column, what I'm trying to do there is just to indicate how our goals and our strategic objectives link with the government priorities in terms of the outcomes, the MDGs, and the National Development Plan. So that there's a clear linkage, and we have been given very clear guidelines and instructions to make sure that the work that we are doing is aligned with the NDP. In that particular slide, we're just trying to show across the goals how that linkage happens. Next slide, please. Chair, then I indicate here on this slide, and it shows the six programs of the department, and that's the six budget programs, and the lighter colored blocks below each of those six programs are the sub-programs as you would find them in the estimates of national expenditure. So if I just take administration as an example, below there you've got ministry, departmental management, internal audit, corporate services, financial management, office accommodation. Those will all be mapped and linked, and you'll see them in the estimates of national expenditure. So if you take that one slide and you have estimates of national expenditure next to you, you'll see there's a direct linkage between those documents and then back into our APP document. Next slide, please. Chair, I'm not going to go into the overview of the annual performance plan structure. Is on a budget program level, we also anticipating with the new function that has been transferred to the Department from Human Settlements as taking responsibility for sanitation, is that we also have to review the budget structure. So while we have a six program structure at the moment, as I've shown you on slide 15, that program structure will in all probability be amended so that we reflect more effectively the sanitation function and also the increased role that the department is having to play in terms of the interventionist activities at a local government level. So that program structure is going to have to change to be able to reflect that. Currently, it doesn't reflect it. Chair, then, on the next slide, I'll just indicate there the manual reporting process in terms of us getting the templates which is provided to us before the end of the quarter. We then populate the template. The DDGs in Block 3 sign off on that quarterly report. It's then submitted, and we then consolidate and submit a preliminary report within 3 days after the end of a quarter to DPME and National Treasury. We then, MANCO goes through, that's block 8, a review, endorses the draft, and then it is then signed off finally to the Minister. And that report, if you look at the block, which would be block 10, at the end there, would be the report.
The members, can we agree that this section that we will get into is highly important for us here. That we allow Mr. Bowser to go beyond that time. The section that I'm dealing with is a section that talks about the entire value chain of water. It's something that we're going to be dealing with, you know, on a daily basis going forward. It really goes beyond the duty call being about giving us a framework from an end point of view as to how a budgeting cycle operates. But this area that he's going to be dealing with is a section that is quite important. Those two slides, the slide number 20 and slide number 21. Okay, can we agree on that? Define that. If you don't mind, sir.
Yes, we'll do. Yes.
And then we shall be... If you can just do with 20, 21, and 22.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
We'll do. If I could then move on to slides 20, 21, 22. Chair, I'm going to use this one here to point on because of you having the big screen behind you. But this is a slide which we use in most of our documents, which shows the value chain. Can I use that one? Okay. Which indicates the water and sanitation value chain, which we are trying to make sure that through the value chain, in the programs that we move ahead with, that there's a lot more accountability for actions along that value chain. Currently, the department is responsible for the water resource infrastructure, that's at that level, which is the resource development. Clearly a departmental responsibility, it's not a shared function.
If you don't mind, Mr. Bada.
Yeah.
I'm trying to ask this all of us here, members. Can you start at the beginning? Mm. You have a slogan that you use, you know, from source to tap.
Okay.
Where does it start? Where does it end?
Thanks, Chair, for...
I was pleading with the BG that he must take for granted that we understand the definitions of the concept that he uses. For instance, when you say water and sanitation value chain, what is it?
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. I think the point that the Chair has just raised that I must make reference to the slogan that we use, which helps you to understand that value chain. We talk of and we work on the value chain where we say from source to tap and back to source again. So we're looking at water as you take it from the river in its natural state once it's there after rain or whatever it might be. From that point, we then use it for domestic, industrial and other purposes. And then once we've used that water, the effluent from the use of that water is then returned to the stream. And that is, or the river.
You see, and also, you see, before it gets to the river,
yeah,
it is God. God gives us the water. Hey.
You want me to start right from the biblical transition? Okay. Thanks for that. I'm not going to be able to quote chapter and verse from the Bible, but I've got a pastor next to me who might be able to help me with that. Yes, dear. If you consider a river as we have it there, that river, we try and maintain that river in as close as possible as we can, man-made, into its natural state. And that is regulated under the National Water Act. But the water that we have in those rivers, in a country such as South Africa, and any other country, is dependent on rainfall. So you will have ice flow in the river coming as rainfall, and also some inflow to the rivers from the underground aquifers. Now the aquifers, that is water that's available in the soil structures, below ground level, which we would sometimes extract from those aquifers by way of boreholes or other means. So that's part of a natural cycle in terms of rain, water going into the dams, and then we either take the water straight out of the rivers, or alternatively, as we have to in South Africa, being a very water-stressed country, we've got to manage water availability by building man-made structures on those rivers to be able to store water during the periods when we have water available through rains or through floods, and to be able to carry us through the dry seasons. So typically a dam that we build will have a capacity which we call in the order of 2 MAR, which is the equivalent of the mean annual runoff. That's what we measure scientifically through various gauging methods, the runoff which we would expect to come from that catchment into that dam. And we base the assurance of supply from that dam on the basis of the MAR and the availability of water from that system. So some systems might have, because you have bigger rivers, you might be able to have a dam of less than 2 MAR because of the frequency of rains that you have in those systems.
So may I ask a question while we're on this? What do you expect, what we draw on the one side and what we put back, what percentage would the norm be? But to 60 megaliters, how many megaliters do you expect on a daily basis to go back into the system? Or more or less?
I will pull up a slide from another presentation and just give that figure. It really depends on who the users are. Typically, in a municipal sense, where we have waterborne sewage systems, and maybe I should answer that when I get to that end of the value chain, is that up to 60% of the water that goes into a municipal system can find its way back into as effluent, back into the system. So, Chair, coming back to the river, we then build dams on those rivers from which we then draw water, take it through into a water treatment facility where the water is then purified to a drinking water quality or a quality which is acceptable for industry to use. From there, the water is normally pumped. Most of the situations in South Africa, it's pumped into service reservoirs where we would then store water, and normally we have sufficient water stored for a 48-hour period in the service reservoirs. So that if you have a breakdown in the system between the dam and the service reservoir, you've got a 48-hour period, which is 2 days to do that repair. That water then goes into smaller reservoirs, which would be our supply reservoirs into the urban areas. Those reservoirs which typically have a 24-hour supply. So into a reservoir supplying a particular residential area that would have a capacity of 24 hours, meaning that you would have a day normally to repair a problem between the main service reservoir and the supply reservoirs into an urban area.
Chair, if I could just indicate that up to this point where we have the main service reservoirs, that is a due responsibility between ourselves, Water Affairs and Water and Sanitation, and local government, in that this is the space generally where the water boards would operate, where they do bulk distribution. In terms of the constitution and the current way that local government is configured, many local governments, particularly the metros, also do water supply, which is a similar function to what the water boards would do in that area there. The next level in the value chain is from the distribution or the main service reservoir, the main distribution reservoir into the service reservoirs is down into the reticulation network in the urban areas. So that's where you would have a reticulation network supplying piped water and or a collector system where you've got waterborne sanitation which will be picking up the wastewater from the residential areas and taking that into a collector system into the wastewater treatment works, and eventually that is water is treated, and that would be the green water that goes back into the system. So that would complete the value chain from a municipal level. In terms of the pressure points, Chair, well, let me just start. Generally, the area from the distribution reservoir, the main reservoirs, through into the urban areas and back into the treated upfall, the wastewater treatment works. That's the municipal area. We are, however, at the moment, backing into that area with some of our water boards, where they also are providing bulk sanitation services. But that's a small, it's not their major area of responsibility at the moment. But with a newly configured department, we would expect that the water boards and the department will be playing a much more significant role in that area there on the wastewater treatment.
Taking into consideration that by the end of this month, sanitation will go to the Department of Water and becomes Water and Sanitation. And which area that the acting DG is pointing, it talk about the sanitation. What specific role will sanitation from the Department of Water and Sanitation will be played? Because the acting DG is indicating that it's a municipal area. What specific role the department will be playing after month end of this month?
Thank you. Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. The role that the department will play in terms of the transfer functions is, first of all, to deal with the eradication of the bucket systems within the urban areas. So that's the first element that is being transferred to us. And then secondly, in the rural areas, the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, RIG, is being transferred to us as well. So the department will play a role in the rural areas in terms of dealing with household sanitation in the rural areas. In the urban areas, in the peri-urban areas, local government together with Department of Human Settlements will still have responsibility for sanitation within those areas where you've got a toilet which is part of a house. We wouldn't have a role to play there. And then the department will then play we have a regulatory role in any event around the wastewater treatment works, but going forward in the way we are reconfiguring ourselves, we are going to take a much bigger role also in the funding of the refurbishment and the expansion of the treatment capacity in the wastewater treatment works. But Honourable Member, once that function is transferred to us now at the end of the month, it will mainly be around the BEP and the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant for on-site sanitation to rural households.
Just a follow-up. Thank you very much. A follow-up on this. On page 16, the DG mentioned that at this moment you have the interventionist and you haven't put the structure together as yet. I think I then would like to have on what the other member has said. In the absence of what you haven't yet put together, how are we going to go forward? If I heard you correctly, DJ. On page 16. You said you have not yet put the sanitation structure together.
That's correct. Chair, in terms of the determination or the request for determination by DVSA, we have put a proposal into DPSA. Our sanitation, as it moves from human settlements to the department, how to be landed in the department. So that function, which is currently performed and under the responsibility of the DG Human Settlements and the Minister for Human Settlements, that function will be excised from the Department of Human Settlements and established in the department. So that process is at the moment with the DPSA, and we're waiting for a determination. So that moves in to the department. But in terms of the way we are trying to restructure ourselves to operate from the 2015 year onwards, is to have a much greater role to play at that level as well. That's apart from the function that transfers from human settlements to the department. At the moment, we perform a regulatory role there, and through the regional bulk infrastructure grant, there are a number of wastewater treatment works where we do the expansion of capacity, but the expansion of that capacity at that level is done using the municipalities as our implementing agents. So we have the budget is transferred to the municipalities, they then implement the works. And in terms of the way that we expect us going forward, that work would be done to a greater extent by our water boards as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just looking on the issue of powers and functions, considering the stakeholders, as mentioned by you, that you have the department, you have the water board, then you have the district. Now, from the dam to the district reservoir, is there any role by the district in cases where we do not have water board? What happened within the dam and the distributor reservoir? I'm not getting clear there what happens. You get my question. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Good one, Mr. Mure.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to check the roles and responsibilities between the department and the municipalities. Right from the distribution reservoir, or rather the distribution infrastructure. My understanding, as I look at the map there, it says from the distribution reservoir down to the internal pipe work is the responsibility of the municipalities. And in the internal pipe network, which is the urban areas, you also find companies, big companies, that are working there. Am I correct, DJ? On the urban areas. Thank you very much. I want you to see you nodding so that I can see that you are hearing me clearly. Yeah. Then you sometimes find spillages, acidic spillages that come from that internal pipe network to the companies going down the river. Whose responsibility is that one? Is it the department or the municipality? So that we should know when they criticize, who should be criticized, who's not doing the job. Thank you.
Chair, my response is going to demonstrate how complex the area of water management is. Let me just first respond to the first honourable member's question around the roles and responsibilities of the districts. What we have in South Africa is it's a differentiated approach to the appointment of local government as water services authority. In some areas of the country, you will have a district municipality appointed as a water services authority. That's in terms of the powers and functions coming out of the Municipal Systems Act. Or you might have a local authority as a water services authority. And then generally, not generally, all the metros have water services authority functions, which means that those who have a water services authority function would take responsibility for water from that point right through the cycle to the point of discharge. So in this space here, you might have a district municipality operating, and that district municipality, if it is a water services authority, could contract the water board to do that work there, and it could then contract the local municipality in terms of the Section 78 process in the Municipal Systems Act to perform that function on their behalf. Okay. So it's quite a complex arrangement.
What I would propose is two members. I consciously allowed us to go through this exercise. It obviously does provoke a discussion. But that's because here you're dealing with a very complex area, water, so to speak. It sounds very simple as you look at it. You simply open the tap and water comes down. As to how that water gets to that point, that's what we are dealing with here. There are two things obviously that you will have to do going forward. This is obviously work in progress for us. One is that we certainly have to visit physically so that we get to see how the whole value chain is depicted here. So that we have a clear sense. That could be part of our own program, if you like, over that visit that we'll have to do ourselves. We'll have to create that in the course of time. The second part, we initially scheduled that we were going to be together with the other entities of water and spend 2 days. That could be part of that process. But I thought now that they had it on their presentation, that this has allowed some little bit of time on this one so that we have a bit of some understanding. It is obviously not going to be enough time for us. But on its own, this exercise can take us, you know, for that matter, without even having to be in a boardroom scenario, but physically having to go out there and see these things. That's generally how, you know, our comprehension could get at, for us to have a sense of understanding or knowledge of how this process is operated. What I would propose you do, perhaps for us now, is that we don't engage further on this. We allow another agency of government to come in and thank the department. Obviously, they are not leaving, but we're going to have one discussion at the end that shall also encompass the department. I wanted to put a proposal. Be fine. Okay, thank you very much. Let's allow the budget office to come through. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair, for time. I don't know if you can hear me. Am I audible? Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for giving the opportunity to come here from the Budget Office and brief you and give you some background of what we do and so on and so on. I'm with my colleague. My name is Dumisa Janjis. I'm with my colleague, Alfred Monahoy. Honorable Chair, we'll do the presentation. Okay, Honorable Chair, before we start, I just want to forward the apologies to the Director of the Budget Office, Professor Muhammad Jahid, who could not be with us today. He had other arrangements that he prepared before we got the notice for the brief. Our presentation is in three themes. We did relate the presentation yesterday with the Secretary of the Committee, but I did some bit of touch-up there when I joined the member number 6, but it's not different from what I'm going to be doing later. But now, our presentation is in three formats. It's in three themes or three formats. The first theme is talks about the PDO and its mandate, legislation, and so on. And the second theme is the functions, the current projects, what we have done, what we're currently doing. And the third theme is to touch on the specific issues that the chair was interested in from our office there. So it won't be broken down like that, but you just feel when you know, when it moves to the next thing and so on. Yeah? So it's going to be like an automatic car. You know, when you drive an automatic car, just imagine you're in the next game. Yeah? So I'll try to do that in my presentation as well. In details, the outlines, we're going to talk about the legislative mandate, the core functions. We'll give the committee the structure of the office, the scope, and the current project, or the recent project that we've finished or reports. And also highlight some of the issues that we've discussed with our committees that are of interest, the challenges and opportunities in public finance in South Africa, the concerns with regards to reform money in government expenditure is one of the important issues, and also touch on the RRR, public finance section 32, and also budget cycle on and the oversight role by the committee or the committees, and last two will close then. Honourable Chair, quick, just want to start look at the mandate. Budget Office, there's an act that was promulgated in 2009, Money Bill Amendment Act, which gives establishment of the Budget Office, which in turn is in the Constitution as well, to say the Budget Office should establish to support the committees of the National Assembly or Parliament on relating to the money bills that are in front of the House and so on. More importantly, it gives the Act gives the Parliament, the Finance Committee, to amend the bills, the mandatory bills that are put to the committee by further stakeholders, so given the effort to amend those bills. Now, Budget Office established it decides to support the committee to uphold the functions there. So it's in line with Section 15 of the legislation. Section 15.2 gives specific responsibility or functions of the Budget Office. We need to annually provide reviews analysis on documentation tabled to the Parliament related to the money bills or money or related matters. Provide advice, analysis on proposed amendments to the fiscal framework, business revenue bill, and money bills, and on policy proposals that have budget implications that are proposed into the Parliament. So we need to advise or support the committees there. Also, we need to synthesize matters and reports tabled and approved in the House with budget certifications. Keep abreast with policy debates and developments in key expenditure and revenue areas. Monitor reporting or monitor and report on unfunded mandate, which is one of the also key issues as well, giving rise to the legislation providing information that departments or local government introducing things which may not be funded in the budget. You know, we also need to meet and report on that and set mandate and also undertake other projects or provide support to other committees as the director deemed necessary. So at the moment we're trying to tell it around that information that we supply information based on the legislation, but also the director can decide to take other requests from other committees, from the chairs, to say this we can do specifically there. So there is that room to explore the relationship between budget office and other committees there. To give a bit of a structure, office structure, we have the director, Professor on my diet. I've got an office manager, I've got a executive assistant, and I've got the DDGs, two DDs. I'm three director, three directors who oppose the director, which are currently vacant, but we are process on filling the post. And we also have six analyst posts where they're all filled with the finance cluster, the economic cluster, also the policy cluster. So each and every cluster has two analysts, so which are currently filled, myself and my colleagues. So this is the structure that we're working on at the moment. Scope, budget office, as we said, monitor, assess, technical analysis and advise the fiscal and related matters, economic matters. At the moment, as the Act says, we support the finance and appropriation committees for both houses. So we support the standing committee on finance and the standing committee on appropriation and also standing committee on select committees on finance and appropriation, as it stands. But as I said earlier on, the directors sometimes decide to say, let's bring other issues if other committees, as we have done, you know, other committees, if a specific matter, can look at this matter on our behalf and report on it. You'll see now on the report that we've done that most things are from other committees there. So the last point today is the intention is that in future, you know, we'll provide support to all committees within the parliament, which is not currently the case. So we will try to grow the office as the plan is unfolding. So currently we do the policy, economic and fiscal reviews and outlook reports, which we have committed at on the SWAT plan. We give economics and fiscal indicators briefs. We do some research reports for committee members, stakeholders, surveys where we get views from other stakeholders, which we report to the committee, to the committees or to the parliament. These are the views, different views from various stakeholders. We also provide capacity building with regards to the members of the parliament, with regards to the budget, economy, and related matters there, you know, to give them capacity building, particularly members who are new or members who are interested in specific matters. We also work with other structures within parliament, particularly the research unit, and also work with the continent advisors and any other structure. Like now, we've been trying to engage with the capacity building in parliament as well. And also, we analyze the report as requested by the committees, various committees, chair, etc. So in the strike plan, we have committed to provide two policy, economic, and fiscal review outlooks. You know, so the report that we promised to provide. But now we will put these reports in the budget office website, which is currently working. Albert will elaborate on that later on. Eh? But of course, we still need to be sure that what needs to be put out there and so on. Yeah. Workflow model, we have a situation whereby we give input to the committees, and the committees and the chairs identify particular issues and they send them to us. We need to look into the specific issues for us and report on us and so on. Similar example, recently we did a report on the credit rating, the seven credit ratings. We did some ad for the chairs to put them and so on, because it has the implications for our macroeconomic framework and so on and so on. So we do that, and then we indicate how long the parameters and timeline of the reports that we'll be giving out to the community chairs. So this is an outflow and workflow. So I'm not going to go through detail, but it's exactly what I was saying. The committees decide, we engage with them, give input, and they say, these are the things that we would like you to do for us. These are the specific things we would like you to do for the committee, and submit the report on that, and we report to the committees. Generally, the PD office is accountable to the executive authority, so it's an independent institution within the parliament to support the executive authority thereof. Quickly, some of the research projects, some of the research projects that we did, I'm not going to go into detail with that, but just to elaborate or to give more response to what we said earlier on, that you know, the work that we have done, and the reports can be available when it arrives. I'm just not going to go into that detail. Some of the issues that we discussed recently in other committees, we looked at challenges and opportunities. It's asking public finance to explain that this part is very important for the committee to have a discussion about this, around this issue, to explain the challenges and opportunities facing public finance, the fact that we have a bit of macroeconomic constraints at the moment, there's less, the economy is growing at about 3 and so on and so on. So there's a lot of issues around there, which will mean there'll be less revenue for government to meet the commitments, you know. So it gives the committee to think about, you know, what does it mean for oversight, or how should we make sure that we hold parents account, or how to support the departments thereof. So in a sense, it emphasizes the importance of trying to avoid overspending. Overspending. But to try to avoid that when we engage departments that we oversee inefficiencies, and also try to avoid poor governance as much as we can when we engage with departments and so on. And also there's currently trying to strengthen the tax system to ensure that we are able to collect as much revenue as we can, as government can. And also in short, you know, the function is to make sure that we balance, because the issue here is, I mean, as the DG was saying, is we need to provide service to the people as citizens of the country, but at the same time we need to make sure that there's a balance between the money to provide the service and also what expectations we can provide as government. So we need to ensure as a committee. Parliament committees, obviously, we avoid unnecessary, based on these challenges and opportunities, unnecessary wage age and so on. Bill for money is a big one as well, it's a big issue, because, you know, there's one thing to say, somebody has spent money. You know, I gave you 50 rand today, and you bought something with it. It's one thing to understand what is the money, what does 50 rand done, I guess. So we're saying it's very important to always try to stick to or try to emphasize value money in government expenditure. If departments spend money, what was the money for? It was meant for service delivery. How do we make sure that money was used for service delivery? That's the bottom line. So it's a big thing now to be sure that when government spends, when we provide an oversight or do oversight, we focus on value money as well. What does the money be used for? You can have use your money. You can use your money that's been allocated to you, but get those support by the end of the month. But the issue is to say, what has the money been used for? Which becomes a very important issue, considering the fact that we have so much limited resources and we've got so much need that needs to be met by government. So, from oversight point of view, it becomes important to always try to consider value of money in oversight processes there. But of course, it's still a topical issue. You know, committees don't necessarily have to do their own value for money analysis. There's various structures that can help. DPME, I know they do it, FFC, and so on. And we also can look at specific issues to say whether there was value for money considered and so on. So we also have a discussion about the what model we need to put in place to ensure that value for money is adhered to in government expenditure. So there's one of the issues that we've discussed with other committees. On those specific issues, Honorable Chair, and to wrap up there, budget review and recommendation report, it is a requirement within the Act, Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Legitimate Act, 2009, emphasize the importance of National Assembly to assess the performance of national departments. You know, looking at the estimate, how much money was given to them, and what has been done with their money, and also considering our various reports. But more importantly, it is expected from the committee to report or to assess department service delivery performance. As I was saying to the slides, that real money is key. So you need to look out to report or assess the department's performance. Spending money is one thing, I still say, but you need to report on the department's service delivery performance, given the allocated resources. They had this money. They were supposed to achieve this performance or this service delivery. Have they done that? And also, are they doing it? Are they spending less to get more? Value for money becomes in as well. It's a key that's flushed out of the requirement or the emphasis on the BRRR. And also, the committee would have to report or give recommendations what needs to be done going forward. We need these things to be closed down or these weaknesses to be closed down so that we improve performance or improve service delivery in government. Support role, you know, I'm going to mention only three research units, internal advisors, and our role. I understand the research unit initiated a process of, you know, consolidating the BRRR, and you know, with working with the content advisors as well, finalizing the document. But now, from budget office point of view, Honorable Chair, we don't necessarily get involved with the process, but we can provide specific input. If there are any specific issues we feel we need to look into them on behalf of the committee. So, you know, we do provide such. So we've got such superstructure to be able to make sure that when you report or when the PRRR comes out, it reflects on service delivery and bill of money and so on. And you provide the recommendations as a committee. Section 32 reports, the Public Financial Management Act requirements of the National Treasury will publish the reports which indicate the revenue, expenditure, vote, you know, to consolidate all the reports per the department or to consolidate the expenditure and revenue and estimate how much will be needed as you know every month on a monthly basis and so on. And now these reports, these National Treasury Regulation 32, are supported by departments quarterly monthly input, because on a monthly basis in 40s, all scholars say the department ought to indicate the actual revenue they have spent and they have collected or they have gained and what actual expenditure they've incurred and how much further revenue they need and how much what performance they what performance or what person plan or what targets or whatever what they want to use for those money that they need further and also indicate why hasn't why are they starting to perform the initial process. Because initially at the beginning of the year government departments would give a cash indication how much you'll need on a monthly basis for from the budget. So section 14 requires the coming back to that, how much we need and explain the variance itself. From oversight point of view, it becomes important then to say we are able to manage or oversee the government expenditure on a quarterly, on a regular basis to avoid okay, yes, we're able to get things. We're able to see on a quarterly basis to say avoid any problems going forward as said during the term to avoid at the end of the term having underspending or having problems within that could have been avoided and so on. Budget cycle as the budget analysis manual in the parliament it gives four stages there. The key stage for the parliament committees oversight is the second stage, which is where we get to understand the committees, what are the expectations from constituents, what are expectations from the public, what are expectations from other stakeholders, and how do we put that, how do we emphasize bringing that into the government plans and so on, and later on approve or give executive or departments to spend and so on. But it doesn't end there. The fourth part is the evaluation side, when you say, okay, we have written this, what have you done, what has been the problems, and so on. But this should also happen throughout the process, shouldn't be done at the end of the year. But the first phase, that's where departments collaborate, break down their plans and so on. I've put there a bit of a diagram, which is a bit of a background of the whole budget cycle from the executive point of view, which gives frameworks, it's just in the macro framework, fiscal framework, fiscal policy, and DORA and budget councils, roles there, but I won't go through that. And there's also this other attachment I put at the end of the report there, which also gives details what's the cycle, what's the budget cycle, and where the committees can come in and what role they can play there. Né? And lastly, last slide, remember the 3 points there from outside role, representation, empowerment, and scrutiny, which is key for committees within the budget cycle. Parliament represents the committees get the views of various stakeholders or are represented in the budget cycle or in the budget input and the parliament further gives the executive the power or the authority to spend the money and so on. But now it falls back to say the parliament still has to provide scrutiny to say have the money been used where it's supposed to be or have we achieved what we've promised to achieve in the business plans, project plans and so on as the department itself. Thank you very much, Chair. In conclusion, there's a list of all our offices that's down the road from the Parliament Budget Towers. The contact details. We've got a website, but we still it's not yet live, but it will be live soon. Yes, thank you, Chair. Any questions in the comments?
Thank you, Dr. Sattis. I think we will go straight to the officer of the Senate now. We are taking notes. I have a few notes that I've made. Among others, while waiting for the office of the Auditor General, among others, for me of concern, when you speak about value for money and that being flouted, what is the recourse? That also the Auditor General shall take us through such matters. What powers do we have as Parliament? Service delivery performance, vessels spend. We hear that the department spends almost, what, 93% of its budget, and the targets haven't met are a lot far lower, if not a lot, far lower. Okay, to push. Okay, that's the process.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and other guests. My name is Bosha Bangu, from the Office of the Auditor General, responsible for the water and sanitation portfolio. I'll quickly take you through the chairperson said the service delivery and following the my concept. So I'll start with the little video that we created. Because some people said they are tired of slides, they relate better with the two videos. So please allow me to play this little clip. Please pay attention, because it's a cartoon, but there's a message behind it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
to get some coupons. That was a truthful presentation. Are you okay? Yeah, are you done?
No,
You almost took 20 minutes of your time. Once a counselor, always. You can forgo the fact that you are here, Mr. Batson. You want to wrap up in the next 5 minutes? Thank you.
Just to respond to Honorable Member, that video clip is on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's been downloaded overseas by an auditor general, say, because it's specific to South Africa. So.
What the gentleman from the general's office is saying in a nutshell, that there are going to be USBs that are going to be provided to members. if not CDs. That's all what he was saying. Thank you. And as he proceeds, he is going to tell us by when. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll quickly wrap up. Over and above the video, we prepared the slides, but it's a lot of slides, but I won't be able to go through them. But we already shared them with the secretary of the committee. So I'll just highlight the key areas, because I think my other colleagues from the department and the budget office have already touched on some of these issues. This is just our reputation promise. The requirement that we share it with whoever we're dealing with in any meeting or forum. This is just the purpose of today's session, to provide members of parliament with the necessary information or guidance on our role, which relates to the previous video that I played just now. I'd like the members of portfolio committee to pay attention to this slide, because they'll answer some of the questions in terms of what you are required to do from our assessment. This is in line with the strategic planning that the acting DG referred to. What is it that would require the portfolio committee members to pay attention to? And this is for the budget process. This is implementation and monitoring, which is an ongoing thing throughout the year. Reporting. And some of the slides I included here are for information purposes, for members to go through them at the leisure of your own time, for you to get more understanding in terms of how we look at the department, how we follow the money. I can also borrow the slogan from source to them, from treasury to safe delivery. And this is our contribution to oversight, slide number 12. And this is basically, the following slide relate to our mandate as the Office of the Auditor General. And the following section relates to the work we do. I also encourage the members to also go through this part. And this slide also shows what we do not do. This is our timelines. Like the chair said, it's open in remarks. We currently just finalized the audit for the 2013-14 year. These are the types of audit opinion that we issue, as it was explained in the video. And this is for the performance audit. These are the criteria that we use to review the performance information that is reported in the annual report. And for the purposes of the new portfolio members, we just included the audit outcomes of the department and any entities for 2013, 2012, 2011, and 2010. Like we said, we discussed last week, Chair, the Water Board already included in this outcomes because their financial year is not aligned to your PFMA financial cycle.
That constitutes the finality of all the submissions. And this time all the department and entities or agencies or government for their Mr. Makondo wants to take us through 2-3 questions before he goes for his next appointment. He's got a doctor's appointment. Go ahead.
No, thanks, Chair. I've got one to the department. It is in relation to the function that will come. To the department by month end. The question that I have is there any intention to amend the Water Service Act to empower the department to do a lot of monitoring, in a main transfer that the department gives to water entities like municipalities, because most of these monies are not spent on what's supposed to be done. And you will understand that the department at times is hamstrung. So I wanted to check, will there be any intervention going forward in relation to that, so that the money that the department transfer to this water service authorities, it's spent adequately and to the benefit of our people.
Okay, Mr. Chambe, I think it when you respond to that question, Mr. Blazer, Bowser. I call you Mr. Blazer the first time around. I want to continue. As you respond to that question, if you can also indicate the specifics in terms of when you are bringing the legislation to Parliament. Mr. Chambe?
Thank you, Chairperson. My question will be directed to the PPO. In one of the slides, I think I can't see the number. It is about the organizational structure. I'm seeing there that there is a vacancy, the Deputy Director Economics, Deputy Director Public Finance, Deputy Director Public Policy. Seeing these three positions as linking other departments on top, how can you expect the good outcome if you are running a department with that structure, unless, there are no needs for the train? For how long have you been without people in these positions? I would appreciate that, because to me, I believe the organization structure is meant to achieve. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions, one to the department. Concerning, you look at the space there occupied by different stakeholders from the district and as service providers. Now, we have instances where we have got private individuals with water rights operating in that space as well. As a member of the committee, what right do I have to hold that individual accountable? Because in certain instances, they've got a major role in the delivery or non-delivery of water because of those water rights. That's one question. And the second one is to the Office of the Auditor General. On the accounts, you have got disclaimers, you've got other accounts. If the municipality repeatedly obtains a disclaimer or a qualified report, what power does the Auditor General have as far as the department is concerned if there are no consequences for that municipality that is repeatedly an offender? Do you have any powers to prompt the department to take action or over that municipality or just recommend it ends there? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I always hear the word irregular expenditure, misappropriation of funds. If we can get the difference of the two, so that we know what we are talking about. Number two, we'll be accountable when a department allocates funds to institutions, in this case, as Honorable Makonda said, to municipalities. The department does its jobs, its job, has all the proper records, but the loose end there, down there, do not have all the records as required. Who should be responsible for that? And lastly, that we have got this POV or budget office. I don't think we should be talking about money underspent and irregular and so forth. Because this committee should be helping us to do them because we're not technical. As a committee, we're not technical, don't know all the figures. But that office can help us on monthly basis to check whether there has been irregular and so forth expenditure. So it's possible for that department to help us. And to the Office of the Auditor General, why do we wait until the year end to check the whether there are irregularities? Why can't we break that into 6 or 3 quarters so that we can check immediately if there's a problem? We deal with that particular problem there and there. Because at the end of the year, the money has been exhausted or the money is taken back to Treasury and there's no way we can have in the service delivery. Thank you.
Wethu imali zomphakathi. Akukazethi uthole uthemba kwalokho alifakwa amazi lakhe njengasesikhukhuni. Bese kuthi okunye-ke engifuna ukukwazi-ke. Angitholi kahle la ukuthi nibenze njani la bantu laba abagcina bexhaphaza izimali zomphakathi lakhe njengokuthi kukhona umsebenzi owenziwe kodwa i-contract itholile imali yalowo msebenzi. Lakhe nje eThekwini i-154 umsebenzi akazi uphelwa khona amashuwa phayipe kunemizi namanje engenayo ishuwa phayipe abaqala mihla nayo imalanga kodwa imali bayayithola konke lokho sifuna ukwazi ukuthi thina-ke njengephalamende iziphi inyathelo funa sizithathe noma sibathakele zona angikutholi nakuthi sikhona nakuthi sikuphi sasikwenza phela omasipala bakuningi ubugebengu abakwenzayo kodwa egcineni gcina okuthiwa kuyaphenywa emva lokho pelile lakhe ezinye imali uyezwa kuthiwa kumasipala othile eThekwini ukuthola lo 33 million abadliwe imali ngokomthetho lezi imali ey'qondelelalo nokuthi uhambise ama-delivery service kumphakathini ekugcinele ayibona lonto esihle nya simbesa wrong ukuthi leli committee phambi kwethu ngiyabenza leli sebenze ukuthi sizinike iyiphi fana kwethu kwenze yabonga.
Let's take the responses and then we'll come back to the follow-up questions.
Chairperson, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you very much. My question relates to the dam that has been built in Sikukumi, but only to find that there's no water that has been pumped into it. What is the status for, or what must be done in that case? And the second one relates to the issue of wasteful expenditure, whereby you find that in some areas in Durban, people do get tenders in terms of supplying water to the households, but at the end of the day, they find that that work is not completed. Now, what I want to know is, what powers do we have as a committee in terms of calling these people to come and account? Thank you. We'll take it from the Auditor General's office, budget office, and then department. Those are related to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start with the one where by the Honorable Member asked about why do we wait for yet, if I got your question correct. Honorable Member, we are guided by the reporting guidelines in terms of our own Public Works Act, the PFMA. But we do have some the interim work that we do, the department and the water trading entity. But I'd like to take you back to one of the slides there. If you look at the slides, slide number 2. This slide shows you that there's no need for anyone to wait for year end. If you look at the first level of assurance, we have senior management, we have accounting officer and the executive authority, which are the first line of defense. And also, as a second line of defense, you have internal audit, audit committees, and also the coordinating and monitoring institutions like your national treasury. I don't know if I responded to your question.
If you want to answer, yes, it shows that we did not choose.
And the second question with regards to the powers of the Office of the Auditor General, we are a Chapter 9 institution, so we can only recommend. We cannot do beyond recommendation. Yeah. We can recommend and try to influence, but at the end of the day, it's beyond our scope.
Thank you, sir. We'll quickly touch on the questions that relate to PDO. Mr. Monakota will touch the one on the vacancy. Thanks.
Thanks to this one. Honorable Chairperson, I just want to respond to the following question, which was posed by Honorable Shalembe. The Parliamentary Budget Office, be it as it may be, was formulated through the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act No. 9 of 2009. However, the appointment of the director, who is Professor Mohamed Tahed, was only effective last year on the 4th of June. And myself and the rest of the other team only commenced work on the 1st of October. And the recruitment and selection process around the theme of the deputy director post, the three clusters, the economic analysis, public finance analysis, and policy analysis, started sometime last year between October to November. And unfortunately, during that first round of interviews, the panel was not able to find suitably qualified candidates in that regard. And the panel consisted of external panel members as well, experts from the Financial Fiscal Commission, the chairperson of the commission, and the commissioner there. And then early this year, in fact, we went through another round of advertising. We advertised in the Sunday Times. City First, we did online recruitment advertising. People submitted their candidacy, we selected, we interviewed, and still we were not able to find suitably qualified candidates to fill the post. Yes, we agree, we concur with the fact that the structure, organizational structure, is designed to achieve particular set objectives of the PBO, but at the same time, we cannot just fill the structure for the sake of filling the structure if we are not able or if we are not entirely satisfied that the people that we'll be recruiting are the best fit for purpose to do the work which they are supposed to do. Because remember, at the end of the day, once you in the Republic, once that person has been recruited, if you have made a mistake, you cannot undo that. That person, you are stuck with that person for 5 years or up until that person goes on pension or the person resigns. And then following that, we have a successful recruitment process. We are currently, we decided to do a headhunting process. We procured the services of a specialist and a headhunting company. We submitted the list of candidates which they recruited. So we are hoping that other things being equal, by the 1st of November, we would have placed the candidates. And I just want to bring to the attention of the committee that we are competing the thin. The pool that we are recruiting from is very thin, because we are recruiting, we are competing with National Treasury, we are competing with the Reserve Bank, we are competing with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. You have your Statistics South Africa, you have your research organizations like the Bureau of Economic Research, Human Sciences Research Council, and other research structures within the country. So that is our pool base. And at the moment, to make sure that the gap which the deputy directors have left due to the non-filling of the post, the analyst, we have 6 analysts, we have Professor Jared at the head of the Parliamentary Budget Office. It's business as usual. We are open for business. We are delivering the product. Dr. Dumisani indicated during his presentation that we've done a considerable amount of work in that regard. So it's something that is beyond our control, but we are hoping that our things being equal, we will be able to fill those like vacant funded posts by the come the 1st of November 2014. I'll now hand over to Dr. Dumisani to answer the second part of the question. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Ms. Alfred. Just to add, our mandate, our functions are not affected in any way, as you said. You know, we've not experienced difficult to even to produce, you know, our work with the current situation. But as Albert was saying, we're working on filling the vacant posts as the office being a fairly new office, you know. There was one question about irregular expense. What is irregular expense? Simple terms, it's expense that is not in line with the law. If you are told to pay a supplier within 30 days, if you pay a supplier after 30 days, that's irregular. You know, that's simple explanation. If you're supposed to pay, so when you get those expenses, are they in line with law there? I think Claudia Age will emphasize on that. The role of the PPO, whether we can help the committees deal with some of these issues that, you know, red line and so on. At the moment, you know, we try to stick to the mandate as the Act says. You know, but like I said, if the committee has specific issues that, you know, they want us to look at, I mean, through our director, we are able to do specific functions. As long as, you know, the request goes through our director to say, no, we have this issue, we can look at it for us, but not necessarily providing a continuous support, like the research. Because the other issue, again, which I didn't highlight there, the research, again, we try to avoid to duplicate the work, because the research unit does so much expensive work for the committees, the research and the content advisors. So we always try to limit ourselves within the mandate, as Alpha is saying. This is what we're mandated to do. But if there are specific issues on our chair that you want the budget office to look for the committee, we are more than willing to do that, as long as specific other issues. Can you do this for us? We'll look at our capacity, our timelines, and so on. We'll advise the committee. We'll do that for you. Continue with the
items, whatever you want the budget office to do, just through our director there.
I think those are the only questions. If for the budget office. Thanks a lot, Chair.
I want to explain the regular expenditure so the members understand it. The regular expenditure relates to procurement processes that are not followed. It could be where you were supposed to have advertised a tender for a month and you advertise a tender for 1 week. It could be where you're supposed to source 3 quotations and only source 1 quotation. It could be where there has been suppliers who have been awarded a contract did not have tax clearance. That is irregular expenditure. However, there are financial misconducts over and above the supply chain issues, which could be in line with the FMA. Where people are not necessarily following the rules. An example, where an accounting officer delegates a delegation, a financial delegation, and somebody does not comply with the delegation, that will be a financial misconduct. It can result in mismanagement in the way of how you execute your functions. So I thought I should just clarify those.
Are you done from water service on the sanitation?
If I could just reflect on the specific questions that were asked. The one from Honourable Makonda in terms of the functions moving to the department and the legislative amendment. Yes, indeed, Honourable Chair, we will take into account the lessons that we've learned over the last couple of years in terms of water management into the legislative changes, and we will also be amending the policy documents to include the white paper on sanitation, which is partially completed by the Department of Human Settlements, and take that into the legislative program. And Chair, in response to your question, that legislation, we have scheduled that to be brought to Parliament during the 2015 sessions of Parliament. The question raised by
are you saying you shall bring the legislation in 2015?
2015, yeah. So I think we are out of structure to be able to still bring it during the current year. Can I just consult with one last stop? I think we're out of... In terms of the process that we still have to follow, Chair, in terms of the taking the policy forward into the general, what we're calling the general Water Laws Amendment Bill, which will consolidate the three acts, that still has to be subjected to the CS, the Strategic Environmental Assessment process, and then go to Cabinet. And then after that, it then gets submitted to Portfolio Parliament and then through to Portfolio Committee. And looking at our time frame to do that, early 2015 is what we've given as a date to the leader of government business. Chair, there was a question asked by Honourable Pochone in terms of overlapping role players and a particular reference to what he referred to as water rights. I would just like to just correct that in terms of the current Act, we don't recognise water rights, we recognise water entitlements, and those entitlements are given to an individual, an organisation or a municipality in terms of the relevant sections of the Act where they are given a licence. and that license would have conditions in it, and it's through those license conditions that we will then hold that user to the conditions that are that applicable to that particular license. Here I could maybe one day bring a particular license with me just to show you what, you know, what type of conditions we would hit or when we deal with the licensing process, just indicate how we determine the conditions and how we would monitor compliance with those conditions. Then the question raised by Honourable Kaula, in particular with regard to Sekakuni, and I think the dam that Honourable Kaula is referring to would be the De Wood Dam. We are currently engaged with the construction of the bulk distribution system, and that bulk distribution system is scheduled for completion, and that will take it right up to Prazen, which is beyond the Flagler Shallow Dam, for completion in 2016. But while we complete sections of that pipeline moving from the Werp Dam up to Flagler Shallow beyond, then we will also deal with the connections to individual communities along that pipeline. With regard to the issues raised on wastage or contractors within the Tukwini municipality, I'm afraid I'm unable to answer those questions here. Thank you very much.
Your vision, granted you
you are now pulling together. At one point, are you able to practically get saved yourselves? You are now one department. Yes, there are those processes. As we speak now, your water vision talks about safe water for all, forever. When I understand anybody to be talking about a vision, it gets me a shared vision. When I understand society in general subscribes to that vision, such that alignment of society's visions, whether local, provincial, national, departments included, all these other formations, whether within the state or outside of the state, they share such a vision, such that by 2030, all of us aligned, we would wish to see a South Africa that is equal. We would see a South Africa that has got lots and lots of opportunities for employment. We would see a South Africa that has no poverty. So those issues that are being addressed, it could be cutting or what's the English terminology again? Cutting before the horse or something, so putting the cord at the heart of the cord, that instinct. The other issue, you see there in the programs of the department as you go through, you talk about interdepartmental programs, and then you limit yourself to that, to those you mentioned there. The work of this department and generally members, the work that we are doing here, it is so, so important that it talks literally, you do not have any one single sphere in society that does not or cannot talk about water, as it does its own business. Now, we are going to talk about education. There are challenges of sanitation, including water. We're going to talk about health. We're going to be talking about trade and industry, drivers of such manufacturing collectivities. Water is at the center of that all. Agriculture, hokta, you name them. Now, coordination in that regard, this will be quite important. But I'm equally very keen the budget office on a matter that talks about you are raising it yourself very for money. When that is flouted, especially also with the Auditor General, what happens? Who has the recourse to that? Now, you're going to have, as an example, members, the department, we are new in this department, in this committee, but you have a department that has been having qualified reports for quite some time. Both accounts, the account on the department and the account on the trading, right? You've had a series of qualified reports. And it's business as usual. The only thing that happens here is that it is a minister who comes, it is a minister who goes, the officials remain. The only thing that happens here is us members of parliament in the committee here that come, we go, the officials remain. It's business as usual. How many qualifications you get? I want to assert it's material. It cannot go on like that. At least, let's say, after 5 years, as we shall have been doing our work here, we shall have put a stop to that. We shall put a stop to qualified reports because it cannot go on as if it's business as usual. It must be about business and before. Somebody must carry the can. And if Mama Barindela is saying there are lots and lots of people out there who have skills. All what we are interested in at the end, we are not interested about individuals. That's the least of our worries. The list of our interest.
authorities have said, even at the end of the day, when you say 93% had been spent, the impact on that 93%, in terms of us being able to say we had made a difference in the life of that ordinary person out there, that's what we are elected here for. That's what we would wish to see happening. Not today, but yesterday. It's linked to the budget office to the issue you are raising about service delivery performance. It's the same issue that I was addressing. I'm concerned about the non-alignment of water boards and departments in water trading entity. To an extent, whether or not we shall be missing one part, either we miss the entities, water boards, or we miss the department. And unfortunately, we do not and we cannot miss the department. But that is going to suffer is that water board. As to when do we really get to deal with those annual reports, and perhaps if the Auditor General's people can also assist us with that, we really at some point have to align. And as to how we do that, it is of critical importance to us. Because at the end of the day, what we do want to do, we want to exercise our own oversight. All the better for us when all of these are pulled together, because the challenge that we have is that your water boards, their financial year starts literally in July. Different from your department and the trading entity on water that starts in April. At what point do you begin to say, now let's deal with the water boards? Their stress plans and their annual reports and all other things.
Thank you, Chair. It might be a follow-up. I'm just trying to find out from the Office of the Auditor General, right, that act that under the Municipal Financial Management Act, Section 32, the application of that, say in case a municipalities referring to the funds that are coming from the department nationally, where you'll find somebody saying it's not going out for tender, you're going to apply Section 32, that is sometimes confusing if we speak of the procurement process, where there is a section. How do you interpret that Section 32 when it comes to application by municipalities while they're using the funds from the National Department of Water Affairs? Just to concur with the chair regarding the compliance, it's fine. Yes, to get an unqualified opinion, it is possible. But to balance it with the tangible service delivery on the ground, you remain with the question that how do the two are being balanced to ensure that the money given talk to the outcome. So that's it too, and then I'll be happy. But it's very, very confusing when it comes to the application of Section 32, which is in the Municipal Finance Management Act. Thank you.
Okay, let's you can. Okay.
You asked some very difficult questions, particularly with regard to the vision. I mean, we would all very much like to have that shared vision of safe water for all immediately available to us. And some of the issues which we're dealing with regard to safe water for all does require a budget input, particularly within the municipal sphere. And we will, when we go through the process of finalizing our strat plan for the 5-year period with the minister, will give a view in terms of how we get that aligned common vision that it can't only be for water. It has to be amended to include sanitation as well. So currently the vision which we put across here to the committee is a water focused vision, and we have to move towards a water and sanitation vision. To chair, the point you make in terms of the interdepartmental programs, on that slide which I showed, slide number 10 I think it was, I was just trying to demonstrate those departments which we have interlinkages with, but there's not much work that any department can do without access to water or sanitation services. But those were just the key departments that we identified. And then the point you make with regard to water boards not being aligned, that was an issue that we're looking at in the the legislative review process to bring the water boards in line with our reporting framework. Because currently the water boards, as reflected in the Water Services Act, fit into the reporting framework of municipalities, which is 3 months out of kilter with us. But we want to bring that back into in line with the National Department reporting framework. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In response to the Honourable Minister's question regarding Section 32 of the MFMA, unfortunately, I'm not. No, I don't remember. Sorry.
In the presence of Mr. Bob.
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the section, as we are mainly responsible for the provincial, the national department deals with PFMA and the water boards, which are governed by the Water Services Act. But we started a process where we engage with our colleagues who are doing the municipalities. So I'll go out and get a response for you with regards to that, if it's okay in the future.
Sorry?
I said we can solve an answer.
Oh yeah, later.
Yes, from our colleagues who are auditing the municipality.
Yes, sir.
Honorable Chair, thank you. In response to the question or concern raised by Honorable Balindela, Chairperson and the rest of the committee members, we share the same sentiment. We are as concerned and as frustrated as the Honorable Balindela. But Chairperson, I just want to indicate or to highlight to the meeting that in certain instances, candidates were identified, offers were made to them, but for various reasons, some of them were given under offers. Some of them issues were around either the family, kids are still at school, we are not in a position to relocate to Cape Town. These are issues which are beyond our control. But having said that, as indicated, we've embarked on an open supply chain management recruitment process. We've engaged with the service provider. They've sourced the candidates. The panel will be meeting soon to produce the candidates, and we are hoping that come the 1st of November, those candidates will be starting work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
But I thought we would also respond. I'm aware it has to do with yourself. What happens when nobody complies? Yeah, respond to that. You have qualified spots all the way.
Mm.
What happens?
Thanks, Chair. I had the question before. It's been asked before. With the institutions. I think it boils back to the legislature, to say what is the role of the oversight with respect to that? Because the policy lies with the oversight, the parliament or legislation provincial level or the council at local government level. What are they doing if the department or the local government or entity continuously get unfavorable reports. If it boils back to the health legislature, the governing body, what are they doing about it? Because as my colleague from AG, they don't have much capacity to, you know, impose any sanctions or commission any other punitive measures and so on. But it boils back to the country. It has a role, more role to play in the legislation, the constitution, and other legislation. There's an issue, Chair, Honourable Chair, on bail for money. The bail for money is a very topical issue now, and it's still, there's still a lot of discussion. What do we mean to bail for money to start with? And from what context are we, what is bail for money? And there's been a lot of discussion, and even a lot of points being raised by Farah Sekula. But Department of Monitoring, Performance Monitoring Evaluation, which will be bringing Planning Commission as well, they are also working in detail with individual departments, provinces, and so on, trying to come up with the model on how to assess or how to, in a way, look at whether governments getting value for expense or the money that they pay or what expense that they pay. But there are still other, you know, basic principle or basic processes that the committee would probably do to use to assess whether they get it. From a like simple thing like if this department spent so much in delivering water, you know, we can use it as a baseline, for example, how much water was delivered and how long it took to deliver that. I'm sorry, I'm not clear with details here with the function of the department, but I'm just giving an example. If they spend so much to deliver a service on water, how much it cost them to do it? And we need to do a benchmark next year. So if they spend 100 million this year, they can't spend 100 million or lesser for the same output that they got there. If there is such thing, what has it to do? Of course, we're looking at other factors, taking into account other factors there. Are we efficient as a department in delivering services? Are we effective? What measures do we put in place? We can't have a decision whereby we spend 200 million next year, it extends, of course, if the service demand extends, but it should be such a baseline to say if you spend this much, can spend lesser, or without spend lesser for the same output. I don't know if that gives a bit of a chair. But like I said earlier, you know, if there is any specific matter or any specific issue you want us to look into, we could engage and look into that, whether how to assess it. Or we can also engage other stakeholders like DPME, Treasury, and other FFC, you know, how to assess that. Chair. I think there was another point I wanted to touch there. Okay, that's fine. It's fine. I'll pass. Thanks. Another chair.
I guess members, what we are doing here, we're dealing more, if you like, this comes more of a training exercise, you know, stroke, an engagement exercise in relation to real issues, so that we don't just, you know, talk hypothetically. We are specific in some areas as we respond to a number of submissions presented to us. What also might have to happen, or I would imagine will happen, is when we come back, we're going to have the annual report in October sometime, wherein all the theoretical issues raised, we're going to be putting practice to them. We should also be able, as we prepare for those annual reports, that we read the previous annual reports so that we are able to get a sense of trends. Also importantly is for us to look into the strat plan and also the APs that have been there before. That shall empower us as we prepare for that exercise. So that we are able to be real. As we speak now, we are getting an empowerment exercise that shall assist us in preparation for that entire budget cycle. Okay, we still have two questions or so on Macaulay's hand.
Kibongo Sihlalo.
umbuzo wami nje ngubhekisela ku-DJ ukuthi iyiphi i-region yenu ngoku ngikhuluma la mayelana no-page 11 niveze ukuthi nivezela ukuthi nizoqala ngayo i-region yenu kodwa manje siyabona ke la ngezansi into eniyibhale nizokwenza iphi i-region yenu ngempela eninakho about ngalezi zinto esikhuluma ngazo manje.
Okay, that's a straightforward question. Next question. What the Honorable Member is asking is, when looking at page 11, at the strategic page, wants to know is where is the vision of the department, because here it's stated that it's something that they're going to start with, but seemingly you don't have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Been saying something for the Singapore. Chair, I only wanted to check with the budget office on the last page, the one on the budget cycle. The public hearing that you're talking about. On which terms are these public hearings? Also, Chair, I just want to appreciate the presentation also, all the presentation, but particularly on the Auditor General. And I request that that videos not be public so that we talk them like when we talk Murango. Yeah, because when you get that video, it's proper, but you can understand what is happening. So if it can be public, all councillors, public office bearers must know about it. It will assist us on how to account on all our work. Thank you. But seriously, before, I don't know, I'll get after. Because I'm really something that's threatening myself here. The color of this committee. Somebody's wearing an MFP t-shirt in a meeting. I don't know what is happening today. Because some people when are wearing red is things, you know that today it won't be nice, it will trade. So I don't know about the orange one. So I'm just thank you.
I was in look at my tie. So I'm non-racial. I'm non-racial, you know. I'm non-racial. Sorry. Peach, okay. Bob Shelembe is will never hurt even a fly. Any response quickly?
Chair, just in response to Honourable Kwala, if I understood the question correctly, I mean, the current vision for the department is as we have it in our APP at the moment, the vision being tap water for all forever, and that we have to mend through our strat planning now to get to a vision which includes sanitation as well. And the vision as we have it in our current APP is effectively manage the nation's water resources to ensure equitable and sustainable socio-economic and universal access to water. And there, once again, you see there's an absence of sanitation, so that vision has to be changed through our strat planning process as well. Thanks, Jim.
It would be interesting to get a sense of understanding and knowledge as to what is a vision. You know, to understand, you want to crystallize on that one. You also have to get a sense of when by when would you have realized that vision. That's my own understanding. At times you get visions that are seriously open-ended, where there is no beginning and there is no ending. Being able to say, you start here, and starting here shall take into account the kinds of programs that are going to be put in place. all geared towards achieving that vision. At times, you know, there is serious malalignment about what we do in terms of our programs and also related to the vision concern. That would be quite an interesting area for me as you go forward in your discussion, putting together your vision in your sessions that you're going to come up with. Again, members, I'm very adamant on this one that says, what happens if I were to be banned? As an accounting officer, you are the person in charge of the administration of the department. It's not about you. Here you have a department that shall have gone through qualified reports uninterruptedly. The correct English word is. To an extent, you have a department in so many ways, having to be able to say, you had these targets, but you achieved less. Over and above qualified reports, there are issues related to non-achievement of targets. But money shall have been spent. 93% of the money shall have been spent. Now that's what really puzzles me with the Trinitarians, ourselves as members of Parliament. We should be able to say we have a role that must play. And part of that role must always be about us as members of Parliament having to make a call that says, come next submission by the department. We are not going to allow that until we get a way forward from the department as to how best do we deal with issues of continued qualified audit reports. It's a serious matter, members, I must say. It's a serious matter that not only talks about governance, but also talks about the very, very essence of why we are here. Because our people are looking upon us here, all of us as collectives, that we have been put there, rooted there, to respond to their cries, daily cries, and as to whether we are able to respond to those daily cries becomes a big question mark. That's generally how I would pass to in the absence of any further hands, conclude our discussion on the specific one. I was just thinking, members, having not consulted with anyone, that perhaps in our next session, we should be able to allow time for our constituency related issues. Take that 30, 45 to an hour minute and for us to reflect. The department also did receive some of those that were forwarded to by members. If you can also get a feedback on some of those as well, I think that shall assist us. The last point I want to raise is that work is in progress with regards to the oversight visit at Madibe on the 23rd of September. We shall be expected to be there on the 22nd. We are finalizing, I don't know, Madia will assist us here, we're finalizing a joint workshop or training exercise with the Rural Development Committee and also the Culture Committee. The intention it is to align and crystallize as to how we work together and also how we benefit from each other in the course of our work. They shall be benefiting probably a lot from us, and we trust that we shall equally be benefiting from our interaction and that exercise from other departments or other committees. that is agriculture, forest and fisheries, and also rural development and land reform. That one is expected to take place within that same week, 26th. Initially, if you remember, we had planned that we shall be doing our start plan as a committee during those days. So all of that shall be taking place in Johannesburg. You want to say something?
I just wanted to say that in terms of the trade policy workshop, we're just in the process of finalizing whether it's going to be happening in Johannesburg or Cape Town. We're just exploring sort of quite effective measures to accommodate all these committees, but we'll definitely keep members posted and informed as to developments as to where it's going to be. In terms of the oversight visit, we will be in contact with members, just confirming which members are available to go, and then also just confirming flight arrangements for members. These anticipated that we'll be departing on the evening of Monday, the 22nd of February, but we will communicate with members one in advance with regards to that. Sorry. 22nd of September.
Can I just ask a question on the oversight? Are we going to allow maybe a short session after the oversight or before the oversight to take questions from councillors, maybe in the chambers? Because that's where you're going to get a lot of information which you will not normally get from the officials of municipalities. It's just the arrangements that I would like to find out.
Usually what happens here is that you do communicate to the house chair of a specific province, and I would imagine that message goes through to the local municipality. I don't know how it works, whether you communicate directly with the local municipality, but what I want us to do, because at times that message delays, such that at the end, only a week before, when we get to communicate with them ourselves, we only get to hear them having received that message only within that period of time. So I think the best is for us to, as we proceed with our plans, whilst you do your work, you ought to give us the contact details of the respective people out there, your mayors and your whoever else is in the council, and also your provincial in charge person on water and sanitation, which I don't know whether it's going to be your human settlement or cooperative governance. We shall hear what they have to say. Members, I think that should be it for now until we meet next week. Yeah, next week we shall be receiving the quarterly report from the department. Members, thanks for your time and attention once again, and the meeting is adjourned.